By the fifth chapter of Mark, the fame of Jesus, both as a teacher as well as a healer, had spread. As a result, great crowds began to follow him. Jesus had just gotten off a boat near the Sea of Galilee when a leader from the synagogue approached him to come quickly, for his daughter was gravely ill. As Jesus went with him, Mark tells us what happens next. Listen now to these words of truth. In the crowd pressing around Jesus, there was a woman who had suffered continuous bleeding for 12 years, bleeding that made her ritually unclean and an outcast according to the laws of purity. She had suffered greatly, and although she spent all of her money on her medical care, she had only gotten worse. She had heard of this great miracle man, Jesus, so she snuck up behind him in the crowd and reached out her hand to touch his cloak. She said to herself, "Even if all I touch are his clothes, I know that I will be healed." As soon as her fingers brushed his cloak, the bleeding stopped. She could feel that she was whole again. Lots of people were pressed against Jesus at that moment, but he immediately felt her touch. He felt healing power flow out of him. He stopped. Everyone stopped. He looked around and asked, "Who just touched my robe?" His disciples broke the uneasy silence, saying, "Jesus, the crowd is so thick with that everyone is touching you. Why do you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus waited. His gaze swept across the crowd to see who had done it. And at last, the woman, knowing he was talking about her, pushed forward and dropped to her knees. She was shaking with fear and amazement as she uttered, "I touched you." Then she told him the reason why. And Jesus listened to her story before replying, "Daughter, you are well because you dared to believe. Go in peace and stay well."
Loving God, source of all we are and all we might yet be, draw near now. Oil the hinges of our hearts' doors that they might glide open easily and gently to welcome your coming. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is a question he asks me probably a dozen times a day, if not more. It's a simple question. "Papa, can I tell you something?" But this time was different. When I said yes, he leaned in toward my ear, and that's when I got intrigued. Because here's what I know about Jakey. That when there is a concept or an idea that intrigues him, that captures him, he doesn't want to shout it to the rooftops. He wants to whisper it in my ear. Perhaps he's afraid that if he says it too loud, that the words will escape him too quickly. And if he says it quietly enough, that idea will be nurtured, will be held close, until we decide whether or not he wants to spread it further. Oftentimes, truth be told, what he whispers so quietly, I have to tell him to tell me again. And unlike in an international country when you tell someone you don't understand them and they simply scream the same words at you louder, Jakey doesn't always get that loud, but in this case, he simply said to me, "Papa, Wouldn't it be great to be invisible? Not bad, right? In fact, it's an idea from the novel The Invisible Man to more fantastic ideas like Wonder Woman flying in her invisible plane, to, of course, Harry Potter and the Cloak of Invisibility, right? An idea that's captured our attention over the generations. And being invisible would be great, right? I think as long as you can take that cloak off and become visible again, as long as you can climb down out of that jet and once again be part of people you know and love. Invisibility has its attractions, as long as you can control when it happens. Truth is, in our world and in the stories of the Bible, there are many people who are rendered invisible. Not because of a choice they made, not because of some magic talisman, but more often because of who they are or how their body is behaving at any given time. A cloak of invisibility, not of their own choosing, but of their faith's or of their community's choosing. This week, as I came across this amazing story, this story of a woman who's so invisible she doesn't even have a name, referred to only in commentaries and Bibles as the hemorrhaging woman. How horrific is that? I came across another story, this one fed to me by Terry Gross of Fresh Air. I think if I am going to be reincarnated, I wouldn't mind coming back as Terry Gross. For she talks to some of the most fascinating people. And in this particular conversation, she was talking to a woman named Tara Westover, who had written a memoir, a book that I tried to digest this week. Tara Westover, you see, was invisible too because of her parents' choosing. She grew up in the mountains of Idaho. And her parents were convinced that the government was evil, was convinced the second coming of Christ was coming imminently, and so they withdrew into the mountains. In fact, Tara did not have a birth certificate or any governmental recognition that she existed until she was 9 years old. Don't worry too much about Tara. She went on to study at Cambridge, got a PhD from Harvard, and she's telling her story loud and clear. But what was so fascinating about her account is she came to understand that we as human beings are made to avoid dissonance. That when who we are and the world beyond us is that strikingly different, we create a new world to make sense of it all. And every day, Tara said, as the bus rode by on the street far below their house, she realized just how different she was because she was not going to school and everyone else was. Read the book. It's amazing, not just about Tara, but about how religion has that power to either bring together or divide. Tara would eventually find courage to leave that place, but not on her own. It would take siblings whispering in her ear. It would take outsiders telling her she had a gift, the gift of singing. There would be a number of factors before she could break out of this world that had so long confined and hurt her and be able to tell her story as she claimed. The woman in our story from Mark today, too, was rendered invisible. We read the translation, The Voice, today because I think it brings her story so much more to life. For 12 long years, this woman had suffered from a bleeding disease, a disease that made her impure. And impurity is an important thing. It'd be easy just to say, in those times, our purity codes kept people away. But I think in our current times, they do too. Amen? To have her condition meant that she was unable to be in community. To touch her would be to become unclean. And so first, religion told her she had to stay away from the temple, lest the holy place be defiled. And then I would imagine years later, friends wanted to have nothing to do with her. And finally, no matter how loving the family was, in this particular story, they seemed to be out of the picture entirely too. She didn't sit back idly. She went to every doctor and medical person she could find. She did everything that she could possibly do to address this circumstance, and nothing happened. And so she had to make peace of this new worldview, drawing out into her own world. And then the story says she spent every last penny she had, all of it, gone, to undergo treatment that was painful and difficult and didn't appear to do one thing to help her. And so for 12 years, she was a world of one. She was invisible. And then whispers came to her on the airwaves. Whispers of this man named Jesus. By the 5th chapter in Mark, word has spread. He has cured everyone. Everyone. And so I would imagine she thought, could maybe even I be healed? So the story says she crept up amidst big crowds. How did she get so close to Jesus? Simple. People saw her coming. And they parted quicker than the Red Sea parted from Moses. They wanted to get as far away from her as possible, and so she was able to sneak up on Jesus because no one else wanted to sneak up on her. She sneaks up, only daring to go to Jesus' backside where he couldn't see her coming, not quite ready to believe if this wonderful miracle worker, this man of God, this person of faith, that even he might shun her and push her away. So she sneaked up behind. She hadn't touched anybody in 12 years. And she takes the chance, the courage, to reach out and touch Jesus. And in that moment, as she touched his garment, she was healed. She was made whole, the Voice translation tells us. But it took courage for her to go there. Don't know if you know this, but I talk to people all the time for whom it takes great courage to come through those doors. People who have been out of a place of faith either by their own choosing or, quite frankly, out of what they think is our choice. And sometimes people are so desperate, they hear whispers of what are going on in a place like this or other churches of life and beauty, and yet they still don't want to come. Maybe it's because the church has judged them or their family. Or maybe, like the woman, they're afraid that even in a place like this, they will take the chance to come into a place rooted in love, and even here, they won't find welcome. It takes great courage to come into a place like this. But if you notice in this story, it isn't merely being in proximity of Jesus that makes the difference. It isn't just that she is close enough to be made well. This story goes into the other part of the human condition, that of touch. It isn't until she's welcomed more deeply, until she feels the tactile touch of another, that the healing and wholeness comes. You know I like to switch things up in worship, right? Sometimes that makes you all a little nervous, right? There's one thing about our worship that almost always happens the same way, though. We almost always pass the peace at the beginning of worship. The reason is because I think that people may have the courage to come through those doors, but it is until we reach out and touch one another, until we open hearts and hands to one another, that true belonging, true healing and wholeness can't happen. This story takes place in the midst of Jesus on his way to do something important. If you heard what Josh said, There was an important leader of the synagogue, a man named Jairus, and his daughter was at the point of death, and he was on his way to help save her. That is where Jesus was going when this woman reached up and touched him. Jesus was busy. He had things to do. And yet he stopped at the feel of the touch. He engaged this woman at the feel of the touch. Friends, I know that we all have incredibly important things on our lives. I know that you and I have busy lives and things to do in this world that we hope will heal it all. But the other reminder of this story is that when people have courage to come through this door, when people have courage to touch us and become part of us, part of what we have to do is slow down long enough to really welcome them. Yes, here in the passing of the peace, but also there, in a room that's easy to feel isolated if you are new. It doesn't say what the hemorrhaging woman did with her story. Doesn't say whether she, like Tara, climbed to the tallest mountain and shouted it off the rooftops. I actually think she was more likely to be like Jakey. My bet is that she left that place with Jesus after Jesus said, get her some food. And once she was full and whole, she left that place. And I don't know who the first person was she would have found to tell her story, but my bet is this, that she asked if she could tell them. And she got close, so close, and whispered in the ear that I have found wholeness. I have found love. I am well. And I bet that she said it so softly because she wanted to protect it, that she didn't want it to get too far from her. I bet she said it so softly that the person didn't even hear her and asked her to have to repeat it again. But here's what I know. My bet is she told somebody else who was alone and isolated. My bet is that she told him about this amazing person, and my bet is that that whisper may have made a difference in another life, another nameless, invisible person that maybe the Bible doesn't tell us about. Friends, being part of church is having the courage, yes, to show up, but then also the grace to truly connect with one another. Around this table here, in these pews, there in that fellowship hall, and most importantly, out there beyond these walls. It's a story of an amazing woman today. Yes, the Peace Pilgrim, she's amazing. Yes, Tara Westover, she's amazing too. But most of all, a woman who for 12 years had been shunned, told she was worthless and avoided, and who had the courage and the determination to simply come and see and touch and be made well. That is our story for today. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.